We're honored to have with us today Trent and Jeannie Shippen, an outstanding young couple who have deep ties to Ricks College. With them today are their parents, who have been their boosters as they've played basketball and done a number of other things. We have Emmett and Sue Shippen from Manan. Would you please stand, the parents of Trent Shippen? Honored to have you with us. And in the back corner, we have Wes and Lila Lawrence. And Trent and Jeannie's, they don't want to stand to disrupt their grandson, the son of Trent and Jean, Wesley. I could tell you a lot, but Jean will introduce her husband. I will just say this, that in student activities of Ricks College, it has happened more than once that a young man and young woman have been interested in each other. And on these bus trips that the men's and women's basketball teams took 8 or 9 years ago, it's been a while, Trent and Jean became friends and then courted and married. They were both all-region basketball players at Ricks College. Trent went on and played at Colorado State University and led them to the WAC Conference Championship against BYU and Provo. I think BYU is a little sorry they didn't recruit him. He also held the record for some time in the NIT for the most three-point shots made in a game. I could tell you more. More importantly, he's a wonderful coach of our women's basketball team at Ricks and an assistant in our men's program. And I know the players on both teams would tell you they're honored to work with Coach Shippen. Now pleased to have Jean introduce her husband.
I'm pleased to have been asked to introduce you to my husband today. We, as has been said, we both developed some pretty strong ties to Ricks College. Ricks College has been good to us, and it's a wonderful place, and I hope that each of you are taking advantage of all the opportunities and wonderful experiences that can be had here. Trent grew up on a farm in Manan, about 15 miles from here. He learned to work hard, and he practiced much basketball in a funny-looking dome they have by their house. Spent many hours there, and apparently it's paid off. Trent has three brothers and one sister, and those Shippens have made quite a name for themselves in athletics around this part of the country. Trent and I attended rival high schools. I went to Madison here in Rexburg, and he went to Rigby. And I remember on more than one occasion, those darn Shippen boys made for a big upset in basketball when I attended high school and just finished with this last year as the last Shippen boy graduated. During high school, Trent excelled in football and basketball, and after graduating, he came to play basketball for Ricks College. After he played for 1 year, he left to serve a mission in the England Coventry Mission. And as he returned to play basketball his sophomore year for Ricks College, I too was returning to play for my sophomore year for the women's basketball team, and the men's basketball coach at that time was Coach Gary Gardner, and he pulled me aside one day at the beginning of the season and introduced me to Trent, making some remark about saving me a seat on those bus rides, and he did, and as was said, we were married 2 years later. After two successful seasons at Ricks College, Trent went to play basketball at Colorado State. He worked really hard. His hard work ethic paid off again, and he again excelled. As was said, his junior year, they placed third in the National Invitational Tournament, and that's where he held that record for a short time at Madison Square Garden for 6 3-point field goals in one game. During Trent's senior year, they won the Western Athletic Conference, and I'm sure Trent will tell you that that was one of the most wonderful experiences in his college career was beating BYU. He enjoyed that. And they were invited to the Big Dance, the NCAA tournament that year. That was a good experience for him. In 1989, Trent was honored with the Ricks College Alumni Athlete of the Year Award, and that was a wonderful thing for him to be honored with. Some of the fondest memories that Trent has of his experience in Colorado were the opportunities to do missionary work. He was well loved by the people of there, many of which were not LDS, and he was truly a good example both on and off the court. While at CSU, Trent served as a stake missionary, elders quorum president, and second counselor in the bishopric of the student ward. He earned his Bachelor of Science degree in Exercise and Sports Science from Colorado State in 1990, and then we moved to Salt Lake City where he began his graduate studies at the University of Utah. He completed his Master of Science degree in Sports Management in 1992. And during the summer of 1992, Trent took a position in the admissions office here at Ricks College. He also assisted the women's basketball coach, Lori Woodland, during the 1992-93 season. And the team did very well that year. They won the regional tournament. They took third place in the national tournament. 2 years ago, he switched gears and programs and assisted the men's basketball coach, Clyde Nelson. Last year, Trent took on even more basketball responsibilities as he became the head women's coach and continues as the assistant men's basketball coach. Last season, the Lady Vikings won both the regional title for the season and the regional tournament. They placed fifth place at the national tournament, and admirably, they earned the sportsmanship trophy at that tournament. Trent was named the 1994-95 Region 18 Coach of the Year and Coach's Coach of the Year. Needless to say, this man thrives on the sport of basketball. It occupies much of his time. Fortunately, it doesn't completely overtake his life. He is currently serving in the Elder's Quorum presidency in our ward, and he loves to play with our 15-month-old son, Wesley. Trent is a great yet humble man, and I'm often reminded of what a good man I married by the many people that tell me whom he has worked with or associated with, of the high regard they have for him as a player, as a coach, but most of all as a person. I'm happy to turn the time now over to my good companion, Trent Shippen.
Maybe I should just have Gene give the rest of the talk for me. I think I'd feel a lot better. I really appreciate you, Gene, for taking that time. And I really want to thank the people that asked me, Brother President Howell, that asked me to come and speak with you today. I think that this is really an opportunity for me to grow, and I really treasure and honor this opportunity to speak to you here at Ricks College this morning. I'd also like to ask that the Spirit be with us today, and I'm thankful for the prayers and the beautiful music numbers that have been presented. I'd like to first start off with and just give you a feel of where I'm at right now in my life. As Gene mentioned, we have a 15-month-old, excuse me. It feels like he's 15 years old. He's a 15-month-old young man, and he just seems like he's all over the place all the time, and I truly do love him. And my wife and I were reading out of a book of quotes. And the book was called Mom's New Little Instruction Book. And this kind of tells you what the stage of life is like in our house or around right now with our little boy. Rejoice when they learn to blow their noses. This is one of the quotes. Praise them for a job well done. Your toddler's bite means I love you. I've got several bruises in my shoulders, I think. Discourage them from eating crayons. Buy an industrial strength vacuum cleaner. A vacation, this is my wife's comment here, a vacation with an 18-month-old isn't. She just went on a vacation by herself to her sister who just had a baby. If you can't do it when you're napping, you can't do it at all. Keep a new toy hidden for rainy days. When they're hungry enough, they will eat. When they're exhausted enough, they will sleep. No one minds when they're screaming in public as much as you, the parents. The four food groups, stuff they'll eat, stuff they won't, stuff they throw up, and stuff they throw. Inadvertently, you'll memorize books and songs. That's amazing. I can read some of the books to him, and don't even look at the pages, you know, sometimes, or sing some songs along with him, and learn how to tire them out. That's a pretty important thing too, right now in our life. The topic that I'd like to change now, and hopefully maybe get a little bit more on the spiritual side, and there's a lot of thoughts that came through my mind in trying to think of a general topic that I could put all these thoughts together that for today. And the topic I've come up with is actually a topic that we had in our state conference here just recently in the East Stake, and it's becoming more of a Christ-like people. Some of the thoughts and reflections that have come into my mind as I've been preparing this talk is, of course, I've thought about basketball and how to relate that in with my thoughts. Thought about my job here at Rick's. I've thought about my family. I've thought about Jesus Christ. And hopefully I can enhance all those together as I speak with you here today. I'd like to start off with some thoughts by our new prophet, President Gordon B. Hinckley. And in this past general conference, he had several thoughts that I think were great for me personally to help me to put my shoulder to the wheel and buckle up myself and realize that I need to work harder. He says, "The time has come for us to stand a little taller, to lift our eyes and stretch our minds to a greater comprehension and understanding of the grand millennial mission of this, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is a season to be strong. It is a time to move forward without hesitation, knowing well the meaning, the breadth, and the importance of our mission. It is a time to do what is right, regardless of the consequences that might follow. It is a time to be found keeping the commandments. It is a season to reach out with kindness and love to those in distress and to those who are wandering in darkness and pain. It is a time to be considerate and good, decent and courteous toward one another in all of our relationships. In other words, to become more Christ-like." As I think about these thoughts and think about my opportunity to be here at Rick's College, gosh, what a great opportunity I have to be here and how blessed I am to be part of this institution. And even though the weather's a little cold out there today, I was hoping that maybe it'd blow a little bit harder so that nobody'd show up, but I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here at this college. Being here a student and being able to be here now as a coach and teacher and an administrator here at Rick's College has really truly helped me to grow and develop and to learn from so many great and important people. I've really treasured this last year and the opportunity to be a head coach of the women's basketball team. And as Gene mentioned and President Benny mentioned, it's having the opportunity to be part of this team this year. We were able to finish really successfully and end up fifth in the national tournament and do quite well. And I think some of the things that have caused us to be so successful this year, I think probably the biggest, or if I could throw it into one word, and I think it's teamism. And our team is, we had, you know, every team that you have, there's going to be problems, especially, well, it doesn't matter high school or college, but especially college. I think every one of the players that come and are involved with athletic programs are usually stars in their different high school basketball teams or have been involved very highly in the teams that they've been in and participated on. And I think a lot of them expect playing time and they all expect to come in and you know, everybody has the goals and aspirations that they want to achieve. And I think that the success of our team this year had a lot to do with everybody understanding their roles and understanding what they needed to do for in order for our, and sacrificing for our team in order for us to succeed. I've had the opportunity to go to the national tournament three different times while I've been here at Rick's. One as a player back in 1983 and 84 with the men's team in Hutchinson, Kansas, and twice as a coach my first year here with the women's team with Lori Woodland as an assistant, and then this past year as the head. And all three of those years have been great experiences, I think, not only for our teams that I've been associated with, but also for the people that have come into contact with the people from Rick's College. I think the examples that we set and the light that has shone from the people that were associated with our team this year was a great example to many people, and I think people will join the church because of our efforts. My assistant coach, Cindy Lindsay, she had an idea to bring copies of the Book of Mormon with us as we went to the national tournament. And as we took the Book of Mormons, we prayed as a team and individually that we'd have the opportunity to have gospel conversations and have the opportunity to place these. And we ended up placing 9 Book of Mormons during the period of time we were there. And it was amazing how the Lord just opened up many doors for the elect to find us and for us to share the gospel. One Book of Mormon was placed on an airplane. Several were placed at the basketball games. And one was placed in the hotel we were staying at. One was placed in the airport. And one was placed in the laundromat at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, if you can believe that. Of course, it was our assistant coach and our manager that was out doing the laundry, not our players, hopefully. But through all these experiences, I think that the Lord provided for many opportunities for people to hear the gospel and for seeds to be planted. I got nervous myself because I thought, I wonder if I could place the Book of Mormon during the period of time I was there during that week. And it came to be the Saturday night, the last night of the tournament, during the last championship game. And my wife and my little boy Wesley were with me, and I was taking care of my little boy. I thought, geez, when am I going to have an opportunity to get this taken care of, or to give a Book of Mormon away? And there was this gentleman, and he was black, and he was a student that just came to watch this championship game, and he was watching it from the sidelines. It was a sold-out crowd there, and we just got talking, and he actually said, gosh, this is neat to see these nice young ladies out playing. And I said, yeah, there's some really great athletes. In fact, I'm one of the coaches of one of the teams here, and as the conversation went on, he's mentioned that he was a student at a local Texas college, and was just in town, and I mentioned that I was the head coach at Rick's Junior College, and that we were from Idaho, and he asked more questions, and got to talk more about the church, and he was really a Christ-like type person himself, and had just got through giving a talk to a youth group or being involved with a youth group, and I told him, you know, our church is very family-oriented, and I appreciate good young people like you, and I'd like to give you a gift, and gave him a Book of Mormon. So I had the opportunity to get that goal taken care of, and I'm sure that the Lord prepared him and allowed me to do that. One of the things that, besides being a good example, I think that our team was awarded the sportsmanship trophy, not only from our play and our character out on the floor, but from the way we handle ourselves and from the light that shone from our team as we were at the tournament. And I think that's a credit to our institution and the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives, because I think people could really see that. There's 3 quotes I wrote down in my journal as I came in contact with different people that were either associated with the tournament or had seen it or had heard about it. And one was a father and a son that was at a restaurant while we were there in Tyler, Texas, and he came up to me and he said, "Are you the coach at Rick's College?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "My son and I were kind of gym rats, and we've come to watch the game several years now here in Tyler, and he said, "You all have a nice team." And that's all he said. And I appreciate that. You know, he just came up to me in the restaurant and said that. This was after the first game. Another gentleman as I was going to use the restroom, another gentleman, after our game was finished, he was an elderly gentleman. He, one of his friends, I guess, had just arrived, and as I was walking in the restroom, I heard him say, "I just saw a team play." You know, and I can't say it in the Southern drawl quite as well as he can. But you just missed a team play, and he said, "You got to come here Thursday night when they play again." I thought that was a nice compliment. We ended up beating a team that by 26 points in the first round game, and we really put on. Maybe we won the best games of our of the season, really, during that first game, and it was. I think that really opened a lot of people's eyes towards the caliber of young people that we have here at Rick's and the way we handled ourselves. And the third one comes not directly from the tournament, but from a phone conversation with a lot of actually coaches from different schools. Some of my colleagues I talked to in the recruiting process that goes on after the season said, so many coaches told them, "Gosh, I wish I could get a hold of some of those Rick's players." They were really impressed with how fundamental they were and how well they handled themselves. And I think that's just a credit to our program. Sportsmanship is a big part of not only athletics, but anything we do. I think being a good example and whatever we're trying to achieve. And President Bennion mentioned and Gene mentioned that we beat BYU at BYU to win the conference championship, and that was maybe one of the biggest highlights of my career. But I saw a crowd there at BYU in Provo that was probably the best sportsmanship crowd that I've ever seen in my life, too. We ended up winning Utah and BYU on the road. We had to beat them both in order to win the WAC championship, regular season championship. And we beat them by 17, 18 points, I think, in the last game. And after the game was over, the BYU fans didn't leave. And shortly after, I can't remember, a minute or two, they gave us a standing ovation. And I thought that was really a tribute to fans towards our team. I thought that was really neat that a crowd would stay around and do that. So you can be a good example, not only as people in whatever you're involved in, but as a whole unit, as a congregation or as fans in the stands. That really has left a big impression in my mind. Marvin J. Ashton said he hates being good sport because that means you have to lose. But sometimes, you know, being a loser, I guess you could say, is he said that jokingly, of course, but being a good loser, sometimes you learn a lot from that. In fact, we were our first loss during the year caused a lot of internal conflict inside myself, thinking, "Gosh, what could we have done to be better?" And this was at Dixie, and we had played one of the worst games of our season to that point, and that caused myself to really think and work and wonder why can we have such a down night and why can we play so bad. But I think we all have ups and downs and different things occur to us that cause us to, the trials in our lives are good for us to help us to improve and become better people. Another really good example, I think, that helped me to better understand a professional player. His name is John Stockton. A lot of you have heard of him. And another player, maybe a little bit on a different extreme, is Dennis Rodman, who has a lot of tattoos. And he's kind of a different player in the NBA as far as the way he portrays himself. Well, the Utah Jazz were playing San Antonio last year in the playoffs, and Dennis Rodman was giving a lot of cheap shots, and in fact, he knocked John Stockton down on the ground once, and shortly after that, he got his second technical foul, and he was actually ejected from the ball game. And as he's walking by the Jazz bench, Stockton was sitting on the bench, and you could see from the cameras that they were saying a few things back and forth at each other a little bit. And on the news that night, Craig Bullerjack was interviewing John Stockton. He's a sports commentator from KSL Sports, and he said, "It's got to feel good to get back at him, John," referring to Dennis Rodman. And John Stockton said, "It never feels good to break character. I wish I had never said anything back to him." Just that comment alone made me respect a lot about John Stockton and the person he is. And even though he's not a member of the church, just the example that sometimes we all make mistakes, and he admitted that he made a mistake at that time, and that really said a lot to me. I've had a lot of great examples in my life, coaches, teachers, parents, friends, and I'm grateful for the example that they've sent for me and helping me to be more of a Christ-like person. One of my coaches, Boyd Grant, he told the story of the three little pigs, and we use that as a motto with our team this year. And he used the three little pigs he says, just like the three little pigs who prepared for the big bad wolf to come. He related that to basketball and building a house of bricks and building a house of defense and preparing ourselves for the opponents offensively. And anything that they throw at us, that we can stop them from executing or do our best to stop them from doing what they're trying to accomplish. And you can relate this to the gospel as well, that the house of bricks can be our house of testimony against Satan through reading our scriptures, keeping the commandments, praying, attention to our living prophets, by our actions, by going to church, participating, bearing our testimonies, expressing our love to others, to God, man. A really good scripture in the Book of Mormon in Helaman, chapter 5, verse 12, talks about you can put this foundation or this house of bricks in here. And it says, "And now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock," or this house of bricks, "of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation. That when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe because of the rock upon which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon if men build, they cannot fall." So if we could be like the three little pigs and have a sure foundation whenever Satan's temptations come before us or whatever we're doing, we can thwart his mighty shafts in the whirlwind, anything that might come in front of us, and we can still be Christ-like and still keep the commandments. One of the things I think that when I think about myself and my life, many times I've been up and down or plateauing, and I'm not, when I feel myself doing this, I haven't been doing all I can to become better. And I relate this to basketball and the fact that sometimes you can call it the off season. You know, you have your season, then you have your off season where you're hopefully improving your game and trying to get better. Many times we get caught up in this off season and we're not improving our game and trying to get better. And President Hinckley talked a little bit about this in his conference address. He talked about a couple things that I'd like to share with you. He says, this is relating to our family and our employment and idle time. He says, we can do it. If we will be prayerful and faithful, we can do better than when we have ever done before. The church needs your strength. It needs your love and loyalty and devotion. It needs a little more of your time and energy. I'm not asking anyone to give more at the expense of his or her employer. We have an obligation to be men and women of absolute honesty and integrity in the service of those who employ us. I'm not asking anyone to do so at the expense of your families. The Lord will hold you responsible for your children. But I am suggesting that we spend a little less time in idleness, in the fruitless pursuit of watching some inane and empty television programs. Time so utilized can be put to better advantage, and the consequences will be wonderful. Of that I do not hesitate to assure you. That really hit me when he gave those thoughts in general conference. And you know, if I'm not spending time with my family, or if I'm not spending time at work, where am I spending my time? And is it profitable? Is it spent idly watching television, or am I improving myself? And I can relate that to basketball. You can call it the off season. Another, maybe a better term to use is the term of self-improvement season. And if we can do a better job of improving ourselves, I think we can be better all the way around. In closing, I'd like to give a thought. And this came from a coaching clinic I just went to in Las Vegas. And Mike Krzyzewski was one of the speakers I listened to. And he's the coach at Duke University. And he, during this past year, he was giving a... Well, he talked about how he wasn't involved with his team because he had some health problems. And he came back for one practice. And for that one practice, he thought what he could do to incorporate whatever he could during that one practice to make them be better and to finish off the season. Duke has been a very dominant team in the NCAAs in Division I basketball the last several years. And this year they had maybe one of their poorer seasons that they've ever had. And maybe a lot of that could be attributed because the coach was ill and wasn't, the head coach wasn't there a good part of the season. But he said he went back to practice for one day late in the season, and he spent 40 minutes during that time. And some of the things that he worked on during that 40 minutes I thought was impressive. The first thing that he probably tried to instill upon them was to work hard, that they maybe weren't working hard enough. How many times are we plateauing when we're not getting any better, and we're not working in our off season, where our idle time is maybe spent watching television or whatever, for example. And working hard, he got them in, and he got them to bang each other around and to sacrifice their bodies and die for loose balls and to react quicker. And that's what he tried to teach them during that period of time. I thought that was interesting for one practice. He just tried to get him in, tried to get him to learn to work hard. And I'm so grateful for the gospel in my life, the fact that I've been taught to work hard and to become a better person and to be more Christ-like. And I'm so thankful that we have a prophet. I'm grateful that I've had goodly parents to guide and direct me, and that my wife has had goodly parents as well. And I know that Christ lives and that he died for me, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to repent and become better. And this quote here is by Tiny Grant, Charles Grant, and he said, more important than being the best coach is being a good father. I want you to remember that. And I thought that was an important thing for me to remember. And I'll leave these things with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.